Manchester United, Jadon Sancho.
Thank God.
Man, it's the longest transfer saga I can remember. It's even worse than the Wesley Snyder shit.
It's the most frustrating one. The most frustrating one that's gone through.
But man, we've got it over the line.
No, that you mentioned Wesley Snyder. Well, I was going to say it's the most frustrating one I can remember, but it's the most frustrating one that's gone through.
But our frustrations are gone now, man. Yeah. Because we have our man. Jadon Sancho from Manchester United is official.
We've known it for a while, but he's finally back from the holidays. He's put pen to paper, and it's official.
Exactly, and he's back home in Manchester, man.
Yeah, did you see the announcement video?
Yeah, I saw the. You know, I saw that announcement video, man. He's like, "This is I am home. This is my club."
Yes,
absolutely.
When he said "I am home," I thought he was doing like an African accent or something. And then when he said "This is my club," I was like, "What?" I was so different.
The shithousery towards City though is hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Like, "I am home. This is my club." And I was like, "Yes." I was like, "Fuck yes! This is so good, man."
Giggsy number 02.
Oh man, it felt so good. It's weirdly enough, he was a Chelsea fan growing up though. So
fuck that, man.
But this is his home, man. This is his club, and. And the Premier League ain't ready, man. They ain't ready.
And, most importantly, we got our finances in order for once. We didn't go too high for them. 73 million, fair price.
We have to mention add-ons. Yes, there are add-ons.
So he will end up being a lot more than that.
But at his age, he's 21.
Yeah, he's a very young player.
I'm on a long-term contract.
He has a good relationship with Rashford.
He's a good relationship with all the English lads, really. Yeah. Shaw loves him as well.
Wan-Bissaka probably ain't a fan.
just wait, man. They're going to build that relationship. What is so nice to see is that we finally have a world-class right winger.
And we finally have a world-class player that is versatile. And it's the first time ever we have someone that is coming into our club that is very good playing out of multiple positions. So if there are holes that we need to fill, he can fill them.
Did you see what squad number he has for the upcoming season?
Yes.
With this one, I'm telling you, man, he's channeling his inner Antonio Valencia. Jadon Sancho will wear the number 25 for Manchester United in the 21-22 season. What are your thoughts on that one, Gio?
I'm so happy we reserved the jersey until there was a player of equal quality coming into the club.
Yo, they're big shoes to fill, big Tony.
There, we take the piss, but he was our captain for a couple of years, and he was one of our best players for a solid 5 years, I'd say.
He was a great servant. There's no denying it.
He was one of the best right backs the Premier League has seen in recent times. It sounds like, no matter what, when you mention Antonio Valencia, all you remember is the classic run up the line, step over, long touch, run up the line, step over, cross.
If it helps. Kakio also made a career out of doing that same technique.
It was not. I was not skillful enough for that step over, man. I stopped that ball, let them slow down, then just accelerated away.
He can vouch for Valencia there. It's harder than it looks.
It's not that hard because no one else has the acceleration that fucking me and Antonio do. We share that.
I'm telling you, he's just.
I wouldn't be surprised if I did a DNA test and found out I was half Ecuadorian.
Ecuadorian. Oh, no, man. What do you think? Are you happy, though? Because there was a lot of rumours that he wanted 7. You know, he had offered him 7. Obviously, he hasn't been given a number 7 that's staying with Cavani for this season. He'll probably be off at the end of next season. Are you happy that they didn't take the shirt number off Eddie Cavani like they did a couple of years back with Martial when Zlatan came in? Are you happy that they didn't?
I am. I think it's not like you can't do that. You can't just say you're not as important as him. We need to be a squad.
I agree.
Everyone, like, when there is a number taken up, it should be left with them. that caused controversy when Martial had his taken away, and that was to bring in Ibrahimovic, like a world-renowned goal scorer, quality player. This is Eddie Cavani, who has that status of being the world-renowned player, the very well-respected older player. And this is a young lad coming in from Borussia Dortmund. He's obviously a great player. He's put up the numbers. He's been excellent. He has amazing skill on the ball and all that. But he doesn't have the like sort of respect that Cavani should have. So I think it'd be ridiculous to just come in and strip Cavani at number seven.
I agree 100%, because I think, as you said, that is Cavani's number. He earned that. It's one of the most coveted jerseys in the world.
And without Cavani, we would not have done a lot. We would not have done nearly as well as we did last season without Cavani. He got the important goals at the important time.
And he finally broke the number seven curse.
Yeah.
Ever since Ronaldo left, we have been cursed number sevens. Absolutely cursed. And he broke that curse. And it just feels like, considering he'd be off next year, it would have been cruel to take that away from him.
It's just a year to wait.
I'd say, I just think it has a thing. It's the same with Mata and Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes made it very clear he wants number eight.
Yeah,
but it's an inside joke between him and Juan Mata. And Juan's like, nah, not, I'm saying it for another year. Not yet, Bruno. Yeah, but it creates that unity as well. Like, Juan Mata is one of our senior heads in the dressing room. And he deserves the respect. Even though he doesn't play that often nowadays, he deserves that respect.
And he is the special one.
He's the special one.
He will never not be the special one. He will be the special one.
I love Juan Mata.
For my entire
absolutely
life.
Absolutely love Juan Mata. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think it's the right thing to do. Right thing for the dressing room. And it sets the good precedent that no player, no matter how good you are, no matter what your transfer fee was, where you came from, no one's bigger than any other player in that dressing room.
No.
I love that.
And that's what we wanted.
And that's
another point we can get into when we were talking about the how we've sorted the finance out is the wages and how they've been done, and no one's like, we've sorted it out now that there's no big players, no big money players, like no Alexis Sanchez in here anymore, and players coming into the club are getting sort of wages in and around the already existing squad members, and there's no ridiculous deals being made.
Exactly, they're being paid in reflection with their performance on the pitch, but there is a limit. It's not the crazy money we're paying $500,000 to Sanchez a week. Barry De Gea, who we cannot get off that monster contract, which is the only kind of outlier to our business transaction at the moment. Our wage bill is between 100 to kind of 250.
His contract's out at the end of next year, isn't it?
He has another year, I think. I think it was a long-term contract he signed.
Yeah, I thought it was like 2 or 3 years. So.
I think he has at least another two on it with the option of another year, because we always do that with our deals that, you know, Sanchez signed a 5-year deal with the option for a 6th. Mm. And the thing I love about them deals is the option's on our part, it's not on their part.
Yeah.
Yeah, we extend that option. Like, I think that is a big boss move. Because that has worked in our, like, obviously it didn't work in our advantage with the likes of Phil Jones. But, you know, just say, we like Pogba, it's paid in big time, because we could have lost Pogba this year if we didn't extend it for next season. It looks like we'll lose him either this season or next season, but if we do lose him this season, then we can recruit a transfer fee back from him. It won't be on a free. And if not, we have another season from him and he goes on a free. But we've squeezed that juice for all we can get.
Yeah.
I like that. Speaking of Pogba, he divides opinion around the world and especially among United fans.
And you're about to hear a very divided opinion on Paul Pogba.
Yes, the Nozcast is also divided on this issue.
I think
Mino Raiola is talking to PSG. They are interested. They want a $40 million deal for Pogba.
Give us back Ander. Straight swap.
See, Ander on straight swap. I love Ander Herrera. I love his passion for our club. I loved him during his time. I think it's good for us to move on from him, especially with the monster wage he's at. Man, he's only 350. A week.
If he could come back to 100k a week, if he came back to 100k a week, I would take Ander Herrera back just to play in a Champions League final if we ever get there while he's still playing. Because that passion alone would win us that final.
You know, one of my favourite things about Ander Herrera, it's the same thing Bruno Fernandes has as well, is that he makes the opposition fans so upset. Like, every Liverpool fan I know gets so wound up by Ander Herrera, and it's hilarious.
Name any other player who completed their first Premier League season with 100% shots to goal ratio. Not shots on target, shots. He took 6 shots in all season and all 6 of them went in.
and some of them were screamers.
It was just his passion. And the one game that always sticks out in my head when we think of Ander Herrera was that game in the 16-17 season where Mourinho said, "Man, Mark Eden has it." Yeah. And he did not move.
Oh,
he did not
let
him move an inch, man. Oh my god.
He was glued to that one.
Honest to God. Sure, even he said, he goes, like, if Hazard was going to use the bathroom, I was following him. He goes, like, oh, I am going everywhere with this fucker. And man, he, that was one of the, it's
just sits
the,
in the Chelsea changing room.
Hazard's just in there, fucking, and there's spare toilet paper in there. Like, I don't want to but honestly, God, there's only one other Man American job I can ever think as successful as that, and that was Parrott versus Pirlo back in the day.
Oh, Jason.
But Jason Parrott, man, the biggest unsung hero of all time.
Oh, I love him.
Any true football fan can recognise the genius of that man. Like, he was. But we have to go back on the topic because Paul Pogba, man. I know your opinion. The Nozcast viewers don't. Let's hear it.
I want to keep him. I love Paul Pogba. He, even I think he gets over criticised because I think even in a lot of the games where people say he does nothing or he's not there. There are games where he does nothing and he's not there. But when he puts in what would be considered like a good performance for most players, it doesn't get recognised as a good performance. It gets recognised as average or even worse. Whereas he needs to put in a world-class performance, score an absolute worldie, play beautiful balls over the top, out wide to Rashford and over the top for Martial or Eddie or whoever's up front. He needs to do that to be considered like, oh, he had a great game. Whereas when he just plays fairly well, gets all the passes off that he needs to get, holds up the possession when he needs to, but doesn't get involved in the attack as much and doesn't get the goals, it gets seen as a bad game, even though it's just him doing the job that he was on the pitch to do.
My biggest problem with Paul Pogba, barring his agent, this is specifically Paul Pogba, so I'll get on to Mino in a minute.
Mino's the issue.
Mino is the massive issue, and I'll get on to him in a minute. Want to try in my opinion on Paul as a player before we criticise his agent, because his agent is, we can both agree, is the major issue here. My problem with Paul Pogba as a player is when he's good, he's the best player on the pitch. He makes football look so easy. It's all the attributes. He's as if you created him in a lab. If you were to name your ideal footballer and all the traits they would have, Paul Pogba has every single one, bar the most crucial one. Footballing brain, in my opinion. He is fast, he's strong, his technical ability is second to none. But he makes stupid decisions at stupid times. He can do the most incredible pass in the world and then get very confident, like right outside his box, lose the ball, concede a goal, or concede a penalty. It's very frustrating. When he shows up, he's the best player on the pitch by a country mile. There's no one that can come close to him. No one can touch him. But he's too hot and cold. He doesn't turn it on enough. Last season, he improved a lot when we put him out to the left wing. He didn't have half the defensive responsibilities that he was used to, and he shone. But he was injured for a lot of last season as well.
Yeah.
You couldn't rely on him. And it's hard to want to keep him, in my opinion, when every single summer and every single winter transfer window as well, you're hearing, oh, I want to go. Or anytime he goes away on international duty, he goes, oh, well, I'm a Manchester United player for now, but it's my dream to play for Real Madrid, my dream to play for PSG, my dream to play for... And I was like, man, stop telling your dreams. Put them in a fucking journal, for all I care. I don't give a shit. You're a Manchester United player. That should be your dream. I said, and if that isn't your dream, fine. Leave. Because I'm so sick of the negativity that comes around him. Because he does. Jose said it best after the... I think it was a 2-2 Southampton draw a couple of seasons back, and the rumours coming out of the dressing room that day was Jose Mourinho called him a virus. I do agree with them comments 100%. I think Paul Pogba himself is a fun, energetic, lovable person. But the energy around Paul Pogba is like a virus. Because the negativity that comes in, Mino is like, oh, well, Ollie's keeping Paul Pogba here against his will, and he's treating him like a slave, and oh, Paul Pogba deserves it. And it's just all this negative energy all the time, and man, it's so taxing. I really want to get rid of. If he doesn't want to be here, go. If he wants to stay, get your head down, work for it, because we all want a fully committed Paul Pogba. Everyone wants that. If you're not going to give us that, leave.
I think
this season, he, if we get the, if we sign a holding midfielder, or if Scott McTominay steps up and becomes a good holding midfielder, like I think he has the potential to do, he just needs to level up a little bit, and he'll be, like, he plays similar enough game to Declan Rice. I'm not saying he will be on that level, but he'll definitely be close if he steps up a bit. But if he gets that player there that can hold in front of a defence by himself, and Pogba gets that bit more freedom, now with the options he's going to have in front of him, with the Marcus Rashfords, Jadon Sancho, Bruno Fernandes, Eddie Cavani, Anthony Martial if he hits a bit of form, Reece James if he can, or not Reece James, Jesus, Dan James.
Reece James?
Dan James if he...
You're mixing up your main man, aren't you?
Man, it's John Dames, that's why I got mixed up. John Dames, if he can, like, sort out, like, if he could keep that form from the Euros, he'll be a good option there. If we can let Pogba have that option, like, them, that freedom with them options in front of him, I think he will get to play a lot better, a lot more often, because he'll have space. I think that's the big issue with Pogba, is he in his head knows that he's better than everyone else on that pitch. He knows that in any sort of a footballing competition against most of them, he's going to win. But that works against him when there's a high press on him, because he plays the game with such a calm mind. Like, he plays so calmly, so nonchalantly, that when there's a high press on him, he gets caught out. So that, if he can get that little bit more space and have that freedom to play that calm and play those balls that he plays, take those shots that he loves to take, move into the box like he does as well, he'll be able to just shine like he used to at Juventus.
All the reports are suggesting...
It's a lot of ifs.
A lot of ifs and a lot of buts. It's hard to know. Because we're here... Paul Pogba has been at Manchester United for 5 years now, since he came back.
And I have ifed every single summer.
Exactly. I want him it's to always, stay. Well, what if? And like, what if you played him in a tree?
I just love to watch him play, so I want him to stay. And I always if and think of the reason and why he might play well. But I've never been as confident as this year that... Like, it's a small change, but a big change. Like, it's just getting one solid player that can hold by themselves, but it's a big change in that it's going to cost us a lot of money, or it's going to be, like, a difficult thing for one of our, to expect one of our players to be able to do.
There's a thing I don't understand here now, and, alright, there's, Pogba gets linked away every chance window. He gets linked to move away, and he fuels that fire, and so does Mino. But...
Mino fuels it way more.
He certainly does. But the thing I don't understand is that he's always spoken so fondly about Man United and his time there and the people there and how much he loves it. And if he doesn't see, we have come on leaps and bounds in the last 2 years. From the signing of Bruno to Cavani to now we have Jadon Sancho come in, possibly Varane.
Which would be huge.
If he is not excited by the way this project is going under a manager who so clearly believes in him, a group of players who adore him, and a fan base for the majority that I would say have a lot of time for him. They are sick of his antics off the pitch and sick of his attitude towards United.
No United fan has ever sought to see Pogba on his team sheet.
When Paul Pogba puts on the United shirt and gives his all, every single United fan has a smile on their face. So if he doesn't have that in his heart, that excitement that we are going places, we are on the right road, we might not get there this year, we might not get there next year, but we're on that right path. We are going back to where we belong. If he isn't as excited about the project and the way it's going, then there's the door. Because this is the most exciting United group he's had since he came back. And he can surely not, coming in as 89 million signing, if he was to leave this summer, let's say, he cannot look back on his time as a success. What did he win?
Yeah.
He won a Europa League, he won a League Cup, he won a Community Shield, and is there any other major team? He lost an FA Cup final, he lost the Europa League final.
Yeah, that's...
He had 2 second place finishes. That's not successful. 5 years at Manchester United, that's not a successful 5 year stint.
No.
But he is the main man. Surely his ego and his love for Manchester United that he claims to have would be telling him, I need to stay here, I'm going to be a success here, I'm going to prove that I came back for a reason, I am the man put Manchester United back on the map again. And if he doesn't feel that way, I really couldn't care less who he goes to and how he plays. Because we all know, you can see it written in the stars, no matter who he goes, if it's PSG, if it's Real Madrid, fucking Barcelona, anyone, no matter who it is, we can nearly guarantee he's going to turn out to be an amazing footballer for them. And well, all the articles will be, oh, well, how couldn't he do it at United? And it'll be a Lukaku situation with Inter Milan. Oh, well, look at him doing so well for this club, but he couldn't do it at Man United.
But it's the drop-off in intensity. Every player who moves to the Premier League says that, that the Premier League has an intensity and a higher pace than any other league in the world. The defenders are in your face. When the ball's coming at you, when they're attacking against you, like it's zipping past and all the time, or it's long diagonals that cut the defence open straight away. Like it's a much harder game to play. So that just feeds into what I was saying earlier about when he has more space, he'll be able to do it. That is it. When he gets the space, and when he had the space in Serie A, think about the amount of long shots he was able to score there. Whereas we United, you see him take the shots, but there's saves. It's not like there wasn't any saves in the Serie A. Just he had a lot more attempts at it, so more times went in.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
A lot of rumours that Ollie is planning on switching to a 4-3-3 in the upcoming campaign. That's the formation that he has his heart on and he wants Manchester United to play. A lot more attacking than last season with the McFred pivot.
Yeah.
Given it's 4-3-3, where we're assuming it will be, does Paul Pogba make the starting lineup in your starting lineup? You're in the dugout.
Yes, every time.
And where does he play?
He is on the left side of that them tree. So I think what I'd play is one is holding back. So that's going to be McTominay in my eyes. If we get Varane, I think McTominay, as he is fine to play there. He's just not the perfect solution. Like, he's not going to give Pogba as much space as other players could, but he's a good option to have there. And then I'd have Pogba on, like, the left side, but sort of coming back in and helping out a little bit, and Bruno with a lot more freedom, just playing a little bit further up.
I think if we are to switch to 4-3-3, while I love McTominay, I think we need a world-class midfielder.
It would
to
just
make up for Pogba's lack. If Pogba is in that midfield three, he is very lax when it comes to his defensive duties. We need a world-class CDM. We need it. There's a reason why he works so well with France. It's because he's Kante. He plays with the energy and enthusiasm of two players. When you play with Kante in your team, you start as well then.
Well, it's not the energy and enthusiasm, because McTominay has that. McTominay has that.
Man, but Kante is
McTominay doesn't have the ability.
In fairness, Kante is a once-in-a-lifetime sort of player.
Like, he's not a realistic sort of target to get, but we need, as I was saying, we need, if McTominay steps up and McTominay like sort of fine-tunes his skills a little bit, he can be as good as Declan Rice, if not better. But at the moment, it looks like Declan Rice is what we need, because he's at that level now.
Well, you know my opinions. I would 100% agree with you. I think Declan Rice is what we need. It's who I want. The price tag's a bit pricey. And in my eyes, I've always said to you that I believe that Declan Rice has Chelsea written all over him with his connections to that club.
Yeah.
His relationship with Mason Mount. So I don't think we'll see Declan Rice ever in a Manchester United jersey, I have to say. I think Calvin Phillips is a good option, of course.
Yeah, I think Calvin Phillips would be maybe my favourite option.
Camavinga, that's toxic.
I think if we go for Camavinga, I think that's more of a Camavinga would be sitting in Pogba's spot and he'd be more free to go because he gives that, like, he has the sort of, he has not the attacking ability of Pogba, but you know what I mean? He has that same sort of, he has that part about him that he is able to go on the attack. But he'd work a lot harder in the fence and he'd give McTominay a lot more help, so he'd be fine sitting there then.
Well, talks are cool on that. Apparently, according to Mark anyway, that he has his eyes set on a move to Spain and that Manchester United are very turned off by the prospect of signing him after opening talks with Rene. So take that as you will. There is one source.
That means they asked for like 50 mil or something.
Probably. But there is one source that have said, it's talks about this sources, so take that as you will.
Yeah,
that have suggested that we are, after jumping ahead of Arsenal in the race for Ruben Neves, Wolves want 35 million. What would be your opinion? Is Ruben Neves the man to solve our holding midfield crisis?
Him again, him. I think it's a similar situation to Camavinga, unless we sort of mold him into being more of a defensive player and thinking less about attack and like sort of moving forward a bit less. It's the same sort of issue where I think he'd be filling in for Pogba and Pogba could go, and it sort of fills that gap where Pogba might not be defending as much.
I think that Ruben Neves, look, he's gone off the boil a little bit in the last year or two. Yeah. I think he's a shadow of the man who brought Wolves to the Premier League.
I think more than anything, what's gone out of his game is the pressure that he put on players. It's not even that he's missing the long shots, he's missing the, like, sort of that fine-tuned attack. That doesn't matter as much for him. It's that he doesn't have the same intensity, that's the word I'm looking for.
It was his presence in the game, though, back in the day. It's that he always, he dictated.
He was there, he was controlling everything. He controlled how the game went.
He imposed himself on a match, and every time you were playing against him in midfield, you knew you had a battle on your hands because he did so well with Moutinho to control that midfield for Wolves. And the last year or two, it does feel like the Wolves project is kind of falling apart with Nuno going and all these talks.
Yeah.
Like Neves wanting to leave and all that. It does feel like the Wolves project is falling apart.
It's going to just be.
And maybe that is why. Maybe that is part of the reason why maybe his enthusiasm for playing for Wolves is gone. Maybe that's what the problem is. But considering his age, he's still young. I see a lot, I do think he's that sort of deep-lying playmaker that he could fix our problems. Obviously, in the big games against the top six, I think we'd have to switch back to 4-2-3-1. I don't think he's good enough to. I think it's very risky to play a 4-2-3 against the big teams with him as your sole holder.
Yeah.
Extremely risky, especially if Pogba's on anywhere in that midfield, because you need extra protection then.
See,
Paul Pogba is a looking
player, I could see him working, but not now. If we get Varane.
Yeah,
maybe.
Assuming that we will get a centre back of some sort, of some description, we're hoping it would be Varane. But all sources indicate we are targeting a centre back of some sort this season.
And all sources suggest that the Varane deal is on the horizon.
Yeah, it's looking likely at the moment, but we don't want to jinx it. So
yeah,
it's still speculation, but it's positive news on our part. Anyway, it looks like we have a good chance of getting that deal done. I do think Neves would be at that price would be a good option. I do. I would like to see it happen because I think the Portuguese link with Bruno. I do think he can. I think he could be like a Xabi Alonso or Michael Carrick. I think he could control play from like a deep line playmaker, and he could make us control games a lot better.
Yeah.
If he rejuvenate himself and get himself back to where he was two seasons ago, I think that could be a very good sign. One player you haven't mentioned, and this is the player that I would be thinking of. This was a 4-2-3. I think they could bring in the best in Donny van de Beek. I think Donny van de Beek is the best way to need a box-to-box midfielder. And another player who is very good at controlling and dictating play.
He's the reason I don't think it's an issue for us if Pogba goes. I think he fits perfectly into that, as you said, box-to-box role where he's working both ways. We leave Bruno to do the attacking pair and hopefully someone new, but maybe McTominay to do the defensive pair. And I think the very positive thing that if Pogba does go, we'll be getting big money in and we won't need to spend big money to replace him. And I think that's one of the most important parts about it. And that's another thing about our squad depth now as well. If we do keep the squad we have, we've depth and we have options in every single position in our attack now. Beforehand, you saw like our right winger, obviously a problem area, we have Sancho now. But whenever a left winger like Rashford was out injured, or like someone up front was out injured, or Bruno, if he was ever out injured, we didn't really have anyone that we could call on slot in, whereas now we've a lot of options in all positions just from a couple of signings.
But it's everywhere. Our recruitment over the last couple of seasons has been brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, truth be told, like, we are starting to act with the big club that we are again. We have strength and depth pretty much everywhere, bar maybe right back and bar holding midfielder, because we do need to improve our holding midfielder. Matic would be a very viable option if he was 2 or 3 years younger than what he is.
A man that could have, probably would have, won player of the tournament at the Euros. Fucking Donny van de Beek would have carried that Dutch team the whole way. No doubt they were winning that if he went.
I do think that this season could be the making of Donny van de Beek as a Manchester United player. If only gives him a chance, I really think he could shine.
I think it's going to be a during the season he's going to start playing for some reason, like due to some like injury, hope not, but maybe, or some poor form or something from someone else, he's going to fill in and he's just going to be on fire.
Speaking of injury, now that we've signed Jadon Sancho, surely Marcus Rashford has to get the surgery that he needs.
He better. He needs to. If he doesn't, I'm going to be disappointed.
All we want is a fully fit Marcus Rashford. We want a fully fit Marcus Rashford that will be able to play at the highest level for Manchester United for the next 10-15 years. If he continues to play at 50-60% and keeps putting his body through this sort of pressure, playing through all these injuries, he won't make it to 30 at
Now, I know he might be excited that he has one of his friends joining the club and he'd be able to start playing with him. But now that we have Sancho, it's the best possible time for him to take his time off is now. Because it leaves that sort of that gap there where we can have a new player come in and take it by storm. So it sort of leaves that sort of, like, there is a little bit of a reliance on Rashford that we could, maybe Sancho might be able to fill in for. But it also, like, the signing of Sancho leaves us that we have options and we can play, like, we can replace Rashford and still have someone decent now on the right side.
But think about, we can play Greenwood out on the right side, we can play Sancho on the right side, we can play Matt on the right side, Diallo. Left side, we can play Sancho out there as well, Martial out there, Pogba out there.
Yeah.
We have so many options now. The reliance on Rashford, Rashford will start. Rashford is our number one choice on the left-hand side, but only when he's fully fit. This has given him the opportunity. We can bear without you for 2 months, man. You're a hero. We need him to be back fully fit. We need 100%.
It's been so long since we saw a fully fit Marcus Rashford and we still have so many memories.
Exactly. And look at what he said, 20 goals in 2 back-to-back seasons with like double-digit assists playing through his injuries.
Yeah.
A fully fit Marcus Rashford would take Burnley by storm. And Rashford on one side, Sancho on the other, Greenwood switching in between him and Cavani, man, we are going to be dangerous.
And even with the players of that magnitude, I think the delivery that those two players can give, and Bruno can give, and Pogba can give, that is 4 players that are quality delivering the ball. Cavani is a lethal finisher. Greenwood is a lethal finisher. And that's one thing you cannot take away from Tony Martial, is that he is fantastic at getting in position and finishing.
I agree with you. I think that I've said it for a long time that he is one of the most trustworthy people when you put him one-on-one ball. Yeah. He's always cold, man. He is always running through his veins. This season's a big season for Tony Martial, man. If he doesn't do it this season, surely he has to.
I won't lie. If Tony Martial goes, it will be one of the most upsetting moments of my life. Because that goal where he made Skrtel look like a fucking fool.
Man, that'll go down in United history. What a debut that was. Welcome to Manchester United, Anthony Martial. You know my favourite bit about that?
I just love the... Oh.
Now, my favourite bit about that was 2 minutes before Martial scored a goal, Christian Benteke scores a bicey.
Yeah, no,
at Old Trafford, and he's like, absolutely wonderful goal by Christian Benteke. And then Anthony Martial, which in fairness was a lovely dribble, lovely bit of skill, but he's like, oh yes, welcome to Manchester United. And you know, just seeing the Liverpool fans go straight onto Facebook and Twitter and go, oh, I'm fucking Martin Tyler, Man United fan. That was worth it. Moment it was priceless. Absolutely priceless.
Oh yeah.
It's so the big perfect. Oh yes. It's not even saying welcome to Manchester, it's the oh yes. It's gonna be fucking celebrating, man.
It's looking perfect, man.
It's so good. I suppose the only way to bring this episode full circle before we close it up, Jadon Sancho, how do we think that his time in Manchester United will go?
I think Jadon Sancho is here for a long time, and I think he's going to start off fast, and that's what I'm hoping for.
I think he's going to hit the ground running.
I think he will, but I also... it's obviously going to be understandable if he doesn't, and I hope if he doesn't hit the ground running but he still has a good season, he doesn't get the treatment like a Di Maria got or something like that, where he gets the abuse that he doesn't deserve.
See, I think Di Maria brought a lot of that abuse on himself.
We've had a conversation about this.
You know my feelings on Angel Di Maria. He's one of my least favourite players of all time for the way he treated us as a club. Obviously, it was horrible what happened to him and his family while they were in Manchester getting burned at that time. But the way he treated us as a club after, and the comments he says to this day, is disgusting and despicable. I hate that man with a passion. Jadon Sancho, I think that he is a phenomenal signing. What we're getting is a world-class player who is absolutely nowhere near his prime. This is nowhere near the best of Jadon Sancho. He's already world-class. He's 21 years old. We're going to have him for the future. This is a long-term sign. Imagine how good he's going to get. And we're going to have him for all that shit, man. This is one of the most exciting signings we've had in a long time. And I cannot wait to see him grace the pitch at all.
Yeah, it's so good to see that we have multiple young players now that are world-class already. And they have that sort of desire to stay with Man United and make Man United a big club again. And it's a great thing to see.
Don't gonna make us a big club again because we always were, man.
Yeah, but they're helping us.
Big
prove.
Team, maybe, but we are the biggest.
We're helping prove that we're the biggest club. We have been the biggest club, but we haven't proved it. You need trophies to prove it.
Team, biggest. We are always the biggest club. No matter what happens, we will be always one of the biggest clubs in the world. Haven't been the biggest team in England in a while. We haven't been the best team in England in a while. And it's time for us to reclaim our throne.
Yes.
What would constitute as a successful season, successful debut season, especially for Jadon Sancho, in your opinion? What would you be setting out as realistic goals for him to hit this season?
I think you can't get mad at him if it's a 15-plus goal and assist, like, between the two in the Premier League, and maybe 20-25 in all comps. I think that is considered... Like, that's a good first season, a solid star play. Nice, somewhere to boost off from. But obviously, like, if he gets double digits in goals and assists, which is an insane thing to expect a player to be able to do, but he has shown he's able to do that. If he manages to do that for United, that'd be insane.
Well, pretty much every season he's had at Dortmund has been double digits for goals and assists. Yeah. That's 20 goals, 20 assists, I think it was, 20-something goals and 15 assists last season or something, maybe? Something similar to that. My expectation, English football is harder than German football. The Bundesliga is nowhere near as competitive as the Premier League. I think a realistic goal, obviously it's going to take a bit of time to reset into life in Manchester and to get used to the Premier League style of play and get up the pace. I think that, given the amount of games, I think double digits for goals and assists, 10 plus for goals and assists, I don't think that's too unrealistic. I think it's something that he will reach. And
wait, 10 plus for each or between?
10 plus for each. 10 goals and 10 assists. Or more.
I think
all competitions.
I think, yeah, that will be his goal. And I think that might be what we see from it. And if we see it, we'll be very happy. But we do need to give him the leeway of, he is settling back in. He is coming into, like, a new setup. He's getting, like, completely new instructions. And it might take him a bit of time to set back into the Premier League. So we need to give him that leeway that we're not setting the expectation of double digits, because double digits goals and assists isn't a very common thing in the Premier League.
And you know us, man, we are supporters first and foremost, and we will support our players like we always do. We will give him that time.
Yeah.
He is still a young boy, 21 years old. There's a lot more to come from. What are you giggling at?
I didn't like you calling him a young boy.
He's a young boy, man.
Don't like that,
he's
man.
He's a young lad.
Same age as you, man.
He's not. He's, oh, no, he's, I'm a little bit older, man. I'm a couple of months older. I get to call him that now. It's the perks of being 22, man. Oh, God.
You're dumb.
Honest to God, best way to end this is saying that we're over the moon right now. We could not be happier. This is finally done. Jadon Sancho was officially a Manchester United player. And it's some of the most exciting shit we've heard in a long time.
Yeah, and another player that has become a Manchester United, I'm just... fact-checking myself here because I'm fairly sure about it, but I'm not 100%.
Is it bald? You're down the episode, that man. You look like a mug here.
Yeah. I'm right. Another man. He's coming back to the city, settling back in, coming back, well, playing for Man United again. Jadon Sancho never played for us before. The big boy himself,
yeah,
Tom Heaton.
Yeah, Tom Heaton, man. He played a preseason friendly there.
I fucking love Tom Heaton. Genuinely love Tom Heaton. He was such a fucking quality goalkeeper for so many years in the Prem.
Look, Tom Heaton used to play for us. I respect him a lot. I liked his time at Burnley. I think he's a fantastic second or third choice goalkeeper. He says he has his eyes on the number one shirt. Sorry to burst his bubble for you, Tom. It's not going to happen. Welcome back to Manchester, man.
He does have like two of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League in front of him.
Well, I wouldn't say De Gea nowadays constitutes one of the best in the Premier League. But
I think a lot of people say that, but a lot of people overestimate how good the Premier League goalkeepers are, because he definitely is one of the best.
I feel that that's an episode for another time, man. But on that note, I think it's the perfect way to end it. Jadon Sancho to Manchester United. Here we go.
He's home.
He's home, baby. This is his club.
Okay. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Peace out.